What does it mean to have purpose? There are many things in life that require us to focus on a purpose. Last week we looked at a father's aim in raising their children. There's purpose in raising our kids. At work, there is an objective, a purpose in what we are doing or what it is that we are to do. Today it is common for kids to go to college and really not know what it is that they're going to go to college for. What is their aim? What is their major going to be? So they take their general courses for 2 years, and hopefully by the time they get their associates, they have a little more of an idea of what their major is going to be. Some of the boys have friends who are looking to go into the military, and I ask them the question, why do you want to go into the military? What is your focus? What is your purpose? What do you hope to get out of going into the military? And sometimes they just say, well, I think it would be good for me just to go in. And I'd have to say that may be a good purpose to go into the military, maybe to learn structure. But there needs to be a purpose. As Christians, we know that we are called to minister to others. But do we know what it means to minister? And do we know what the purpose of ministry is? This morning we are going to look at a very busy day of Jesus and how he ministered. And he ministered on purpose and with purpose. And how we too are to minister with purpose. Mark chapter 1, looking at verses 29 through 39. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by her hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. As we look at this section of Scripture, we must remember that verses 21 through 28 go along with this passage as well. It's the same day. Verse 21 says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught." Jesus was already in the midst of ministering to the people at the synagogue. And after the meeting was over, he went over to Peter and Andrew's house. Look, if you will, at verses 29 through 31. "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John, or with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So we came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." The first thing we see in the ministry of Jesus is that he ministered to the believers. Here we have Jesus entering the house of two of his disciples with two other disciples. They just heard him teach in the synagogue, and he taught them, saying what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah was now fulfilled in him. Luke 4, verses 17 through 21. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer. And he authenticates his message further by healing Peter's mother-in-law. First he casts out the demon, and then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now there are two benefits to the believers through this healing. The first thing is the disciples had to be encouraged because they saw another miracle, and they also understood what it was that they were looking for in the promised Messiah. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6 says this, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the compense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the dumb will sing. Jesus also affirms who he is in Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6. And when John, that is John the Baptist, had heard in prison about the work of Jesus Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we seek another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." They knew what they were looking for in the Messiah. Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he says this, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you also know." The miracle encouraged his disciples, and secondly, it encouraged Peter's mother-in-law. Verse 31 says, "And immediately the fever left her, and she served them." One thing good about being sick is you really appreciate it when you're made well. This lady was instantaneously healed, and as a result, she immediately got up and she served them. You know, you've heard stories of people who say, "Lord, if you get me out of this situation, if you cure me of this sickness, I will give my life to you. I will do whatever you want. I will go wherever you want me to go." The interesting thing is, as soon as they are made well or the situation is no longer there, they forget their service. But this isn't the case with this lady. She was made well, she recovered immediately, and she immediately served them. How does this apply to us? I think there are a couple ways. If we truly believe, we understand that Jesus has delivered us from a situation that we were and are unable to deliver ourselves from, then we will appreciate what it is that Jesus has done for us. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And that death was both spiritually and physically. And we see in Genesis a couple chapters later that Adam and Eve did die. So they did die physically, and we know that that's evident because people die all the time. Every day, people are dying. But they were also separated from a holy God, and they were separated because of sin. Romans chapter 3 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The wages of those sin is death. What we earn because of our sins, because we have lied, because we have stolen, because we have used the Lord's name in vain, we have used it as a curse word, we have used it without meaning. We have thought in our hearts hatred towards another, therefore Jesus says you have committed murder in your heart. We have lusted after people in our hearts, therefore Jesus said we have lusted, we have committed adultery in our hearts. Jeremiah says that our heart is continuously wicked, what man knoweth it? I was talking to the guy at work the other day, and he said to him, if you really think about it, what we criticize other people we're capable of doing. Because all we have to do is be put into a situation and be tested whether or not we can do it. That person, I'm sure, at some time in their life never thought that they could do the things they did. Our heart is continuously wicked. What man knows it? We are separated from a holy God because of sin. We can never, ever remedy our situation. We can never buy our salvation. We can never do enough good to outweigh the bad because you still have to give an account for the bad you did. But God says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, "For Christ also suffered once for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Romans chapter 9 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that he was satisfied with the payment paid, we shall be saved. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." He fixed the situation for us. Can we appreciate what it is that we were cured from? This lady was cured from a sickness. We also were cured from a sickness. We were cured from the sickness of sin because Jesus became a sin bearer for us, a substitute for us. He became a curse for us, for cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Will we appreciate it? Will we get up immediately and serve because of what Christ has done for us? The second way we can apply this is to our lives is by doing what Jesus did. You know, of course, we can't cast out demons and we aren't going to heal the sick. And that's not what I'm talking about. Jesus was an encourager. He encouraged the disciples. He encouraged this lady. And now we see that we are to do what Jesus did, and that is to encourage others. That's the purpose of the church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. These believers were facing trials and tribulations that we will never or may never endure. Maybe we will, but they are around the rest of the world, China, Muslim-controlled countries, being persecuted for their faith. It says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Let us encourage one another. 1 Peter chapter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are given gifts to encourage others. We know that this is true, and Paul has taught this as well in 1 Corinthians, that gifts were given for the purpose of edification, for building up. God has given each believer the gift for the benefit of the church. How does the church benefit from gifts given to each believer? Ephesians chapter 4. Matter of fact, if you would, please turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. When we look at this passage, and we have in the past, for we have preached through the book of Ephesians, we have seen that Jesus has given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. But what I'd like you to do is look at verses 15 and 16, which is in the same context. And this is what the purpose of the church is as a whole. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. What is the purpose of the church? It's to encourage one another to become more like Christ, to be Christ-like. Christ is love. We are to help each other and edify one another to be more like Him, in that we are to love the church. We are to help build each other to the full stature of Jesus Christ. The first thing we see in the ministry of Jesus is that He ministered to the believers. The second thing that we see is He ministered to His neighbors. Look, if you will, at verses 32 and 34 in Mark chapter 1. So turn back, if you would, to Mark chapter 1, looking at verses 32 through 34. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to Him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew Him. As was already stated earlier, Jesus' message was authenticated by His miracles. Jesus was up all day and all night ministering to people. He started in the morning in the synagogue, and then He healed the sick and cast out the demons in the evening. He was very busy that day. As the disciples knew what to look for in the coming Christ, so did the rest of the Jews. You know, the Jews grew up with the anticipation of the coming Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. They grew up their whole lives, generation after generation, waiting for the coming, the promised Messiah. One of the things we must understand about this is that ministry isn't a Sunday thing only. You know, there it was the Sabbath. The Sabbath was over by evening. Their days started in from evening to evening. In the evening, their Sabbath was over, and Jesus was continuously ministering. Ministry isn't only a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Ministry isn't only ministering to Christians, but to everyone. As we minister to Christians, we are not trying to get them saved. We are trying to assist them in the growth or in their growth in Christ. As we minister to those who are not saved, we are not trying to get them to grow in the likeness of Christ, but we are trying to get them to see the importance of accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. There is only one goal for us to reach when we are ministering to those on the outside, and that is to get them on the inside. And the only way we can get them on the inside is when we tell them about the blessed hope of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. For Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Luke records and he says, "There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved." That is the name of Jesus Christ. There isn't many roads to lead to heaven. There isn't good works that's going to earn our way to heaven. There is only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Apart from that, you spend eternity in hell. And we need to tell people about this good news. God isn't a bad God because people go to hell. He is a good, loving God because He provided a way to redeem us, to buy us back from our sins, to pay the purchase price of sin through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's love. And we need to show that love and minister that love to others by sharing the good news. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." How are we to minister to others? By our good works. We are to minister to our neighbors through our works. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We are to be light bearers. Our testimony, our good works, is a witness for God to those who do not know Him. But let me make this clear. There are those who will say that it is our testimony that saves. It is our testimony, our good works, our light that causes people to come and ask the question, "Why are you different? Why are you different than everyone else?" "Oh, I'm so glad you asked," they say, "because of Jesus Christ." Although this may happen, this happens only a small amount of times. This does not happen often. And here's the other thing. Even if it were to happen, there are many people who, on the outward appearance, look just like any Christian, if not better. And what is the news that they're going to have? What is the message they're going to share? "I just want to be an upright citizen. I just want to do good to others." No, being a light bearer is a testimony to that which we believe. Let us not forget what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And this is previous to the verses we are looking at now. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Our good works are a result of our salvation, and therefore we should present the gospel in the same manner. Let us not get the cart before the horse. You've heard that saying? Teens are bewildered. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 comes before verse 10. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Why? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are saved for the purpose of good works. Let us not get the cart before the horse. Our testimony is crucial, and we must minister to our neighbors with our lives. "Let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven." It is crucial. We need to understand that. But we must always let them know beforehand why it is we live the way we live. Let them see our good works, but only after they hear the good news. The first thing we see in the ministry of Jesus is that he ministered to the believers. The second thing we see is that he ministered to his neighbors. And the third thing we see is that he ministered as he traveled. Look at verses 35 through 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. You know, Jesus didn't stay in one place too long. You know, if he wanted to be famous and popular, in which these disciples thought that they were building up an army in order to take over the Roman Empire because Jesus was going to deliver them from the occupation of the Romans. He was going to set up the kingdom. So they say, hey, why not build a big following here? You got it. People are outside the door. They're waiting for you, Lord. Here is what we are looking for. Why are we moving on? Jesus says, we're not going to stay here. This isn't the purpose. I came for a purpose. Verse 39 says, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Luke chapter 4:16 says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood and read. It was his custom to go into the synagogue and teach. Custom means tradition or habit. It was his custom, it was his tradition, it was his habit to go into the synagogue and to teach. We see that he made it his custom, his habit, to preach and cast out demons everywhere that he went. Now look at verses 37 and 38. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you," but he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because of this purpose I have come forth." Jesus was a traveling evangelist. He said plainly that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. It is the purpose of sharing the good news. For him it was the kingdom. For us, it is the salvation through Jesus Christ. It is the church. Just like Jesus, we need to take the message of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection everywhere we go. What is our purpose? Why are we here? Why didn't God take us out of the world when he saved us? He left us here to make him known. God left us here on this earth to make him known. Listen to Jesus' prayer for his disciples in John 17. 15 through 18. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. As Jesus was a traveling evangelist, so are we. Everywhere we go, we should be telling people about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be one step we take without the thought process of sharing Christ. Not one. Every waking moment, we should be focused on the Great Commission. Tell others about Jesus with a tract or a booklet. Point them to the church or our website. Share with them a CD, a message, or look for stores that will be able to use those CDs or we can use to put out our CDs. It doesn't matter how we let others know about Jesus, as long as we make it our habit, our tradition, to make him known. Look back, if you would, to verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. One thing we must never forget is that we can do nothing without prayer. We need to saturate the ministry with prayer. Paul says that he planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. It is God who is going to minister. It is he who is going to save. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, he bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. Now verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. But what's your desire? If we're abiding in Jesus, what he is saying is if you are walking with him, if you are living in him with the sole purpose of pleasing him, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. If we are abiding in him, if we're living for him, then our will be his will. What is his will? His will is that none should perish, but all come to repentance. For he takes no pleasure in the perishing of the wicked. What is his will? To minister, to fulfill the great commission. What is our will? The same as his. What do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to pray. Do we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we pray for the salvation of our family and friends? Do we witness to others and then pray for them? Now, I've made it my practice to always pray. Not that I always do it, but I try to always remember to pray for that one that I've passed out a tract to. I've taught my kids the same thing. Pass out a tract, let's pray. Let's pray for that person we just gave a tract to. Let's pray for that person you just witnessed to. You have to saturate that person in prayer. Because it is only God who gives the increase. We can't save anyone just as we couldn't save ourselves. But we can share the gospel. We can let them know the good news of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that only. Then we can go to the one who can save. As I said, we cannot save anyone, but we are always to pray to the one who can. We are always to pray to the one who can. We as Christians should know more than anyone else what our purpose is. We should know better than the one who goes to college and searches 2 years to see what the purpose of college is. We should know what our purpose is. Our purpose is to minister to other believers, our neighbors, and to all we come into contact with as we travel. That is what Jesus did, and that is what we are to do as well. Ministering with purpose is our purpose. Ministering with purpose is our purpose. Are we ministering to our fellow believers? Are we encouraging them? Are we helping them grow into the likeness of Christ? To understand the purpose of life and to fulfill that purpose in their life? Are we ministering to our neighbors? Are we letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven? To reflect upon the message that we have shared with them and then they see why we live the way we live? Are we ministering to our neighbors? And are we ministering to others as we travel? Are we making it our purpose? For he came for this purpose. Jesus left us on this earth for this purpose. To share the good news with all we come in contact with. As we travel in our jobs, on our vacations, whatever it may be, are we sharing as we travel? Jesus is the great example of how we are to live life. He fulfilled his purpose. We need to do the same. We need to minister with purpose. That is our purpose. Let's pray.